Today's scripture is coming from the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 17, and beginning at verse 11. Luke 17, and beginning at verse 11, and going through verse 19. And this is the, in many ways, a familiar story. The story of the 10 lepers who were cleansed. Hear this story. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Couldn't remember where I put my water. All right. One quick thing here, this is also a place where Jesus refers to himself as God. He says, "Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" I think that's a good note, as a side note for you. There's lots of things that can be discussed and gone in various different directions with this scripture. It is filled with so much meat and substance there. I'm going to share with you a story from Yakov Smirnov. Do y'all remember who this is, Yakov Smirnov? Whoop, hold on a second. Didn't realize that. All right, there we go. I went on to Facebook and it started playing the next thing that was there. Thank God I didn't hear anything bad there. All right. So he's a comedian from the former Soviet Union. Y'all didn't hear anything, did you? Okay.
Preacher.
Okay. Anyways, here is Yakov Smirnov, and I'm going to hold it up close here, and this is what he thought concerning Thanksgiving, one of his first Thanksgiving. Let's see if I can hold this up like this and do this.
It's Thanksgiving, and I'll tell you, it's my favorite holiday. I like parades without missiles. I'll take Bullwinkle over a tank anytime. Now, when I first was explained about Thanksgiving in America, I said, "Wait a minute, it doesn't make sense. I mean, for every freedom and all the opportunities that you got here, the only thing you got to say is thanks." It just didn't seem like it was enough. My parents and I had our first Thanksgiving dinner in a little apartment in New York. And we joined hands, and my father said a prayer to good food and our health. And then something happened. Instead of releasing our hands, we couldn't let go. We kept holding on to each other tighter and tighter, and we realized we were together and we were free, really free. And here we were, three grown people, looking for a way we could possibly show our appreciation, and we couldn't. Now I know what it is. It's thanks. Good night.
Now that is coming from this Russian comedian who was living in communist Russia for much of his life, and his family for certain. Communist Russia is an atheistic country whose tenets of their government is for there to be no worship of God, that he does not exist. But don't hear that from my mouth, and don't hear it from what he came to learn in the freedoms of America. That difference of America and of communist Russia, that in this place of freedoms and celebrating freedoms, he now understood what it meant to be free. And that contrast of coming from something where he was so oppressed ideologically, in thought and spirit, and in so many ways, now he was free. And just to think, they're gathered together, just the three of them, his parents and himself. And they're giving thanks for the food and giving thanks for their family, just gathered together in some small apartment. Nothing grandiose, nothing great. And they're holding hands. And as he says, they find it difficult to even separate their hands from one another. They just keep holding on. Because in that moment, they wanted to hold to that moment where they understood their freedom, where they understood their safety and their family together, and the love that was present in that room. And so they found it difficult to let go. And like he said, it just didn't seem like enough to say thanks. But then he understood, yes, it is enough. It is important enough just to say thanks. And we understand in the Christian faith, it is important enough to say thank you to God, isn't it? God who is our Redeemer. God who is our Savior. It is important for us to say thank you. Think about it, folks, in that contrast of things that are going on in his life, from communist Russia to the freedoms of these United States, that allows us to gather in this place. And we do not need, this generation and the generations to follow, do not need to neglect this freedom. And we need to fight for it. We need to struggle for it. We need to want it more than those who seek to take it away. In 1929, a group of ministers in the Northeast in New York, they were gathering together to determine and describe how are they going to approach Thanksgiving this year. How do we preach about it? Now, keep in mind what is going on in 1929. There's long bread lines. There's the stock market has crashed. People have jumped out of tall buildings because they've lost their fortunes and they've committed suicide in numbers greater than they had in previous years, far greater. There's signs out where, brother, can you spare a dime? You know, you've seen the pictures of it in history. Some of you may have lived through or were born in the time of the Great Depression, right? It's called the Great Depression because that was the mood of the people as a whole. It's the Great Depression. It wasn't based on finances. It was based on the mood of the country. And so they thought, as the pastors, there's so much difficulty going on in our world. Let's just give it a slight, just a brief statement on Thanksgiving and deal with other things. But one of the pastors stood up in the group of ministers and said this. This was not the time to give a mere passing mention to Thanksgiving. It's just the opposite. This was the time for the nation to get matters in perspective and to thank God for blessings always present. Now contrast that in the late 1920s and the 1930s during this Great Depression. There is a big political divide going on in our world. There's always a political divide. But there was a political divide of whether socialism, communism was the way to go. And this was a critical point in our nation's journey of whether we would be people who are thankful and return thanks to God, or we are people that would deny God and reject Him and in essence turn our hearts away from God. This nation chose, as a nation as a whole, that we would return and give thanks to God regardless of our circumstances, that was far more important than denying Him and rejecting Him and turning to things like socialism and communism, which are heartless and soulless. And this nation chose, even in the midst of the Great Depression, to give thanks to God. It was important for ministers to stand and also say, "We give thanks." Pilgrims at the first Thanksgiving, half their number are dead. At the very first Thanksgiving, what we claim as the first Thanksgiving. That meant fathers, husbands, mothers, wives, children, even little infants had died. Whole families had been wiped away. Some who didn't have any experience of death, but many that had at least some. Their thankfulness, you see, was not in their possessions. It had nothing to do with what they possessed or how much food they had in the storehouses or anything like that, but it was about their relationship to God and God's relationship to them. And that's why they gave thanks and they praised God. Maybe there's great hardship in your life. A lot of times people will come to these holiday season of Thanksgiving and Christmas, and some people will just go into a depression. And they allow that depression to continue to feed on them because things aren't the way that they really would want them to be. Maybe they're going through the financial hardship. Maybe it's because of loved ones lost. God has never said, "Do not grieve." But let your grief be mixed with the position that Jesus is Lord, and all of His promises are sure and steadfast. And to all who believe in Him, they are brought into His kingdom forever and ever and ever, where there is no end and where there is no sin or hatred or any evil of any kind. So in our grief for separation, we should also remember that in the blink of an eye, we shall be with God in heaven, and we shall be with all those who have passed on before us. So let not our grief be as those who are unbelievers and who are hopeless, but let it be also filled with thanksgiving. I'm your pastor. Difficulties come my way just the same as it does to you and any other pastor. I have experienced death in my family, not my immediate family, but my parents and mom and grandparents. And we see things that are coming about in the next year or a few years. I have a nephew that Because I know this is public, what I say, but he has let drugs rule his life and can't for now separate from it. I say this because pain and struggle comes to me. I know it also comes to you and each and every one of you. And in the same sentence, I give praise unto the Lord, for he is still good. His ways are sure and steadfast and are upright. And I can celebrate with goodness and give praise and thanksgiving to him for all that he has done. Every one of us, maybe in many of our families, you've experienced cancer or heart disease or hospital stays or children that have died or just whatever it is or financial stress or you've gone bankrupt and you don't know how the next light bill is going to be paid. Every one of us has gone through different struggles like this. God knows. God didn't bring those calamities upon you. God has provided the way in which those calamities will never exist again. Not in his heaven. There is no darkness and there is no sin and there is no evil there. Not one of us is immune to the hardships of this world. But God can come alongside us and help us through them. Reverend Jim Moore, who's no relation of mine, he pastored a 12,000-member Methodist church in Texas. And he wrote a book titled, You Can Get Bitter or You Can Get Better. You get that? You can get bitter or you can get better. Now, I understand what he's saying about when hardships come, when difficulties, circumstances come in our way, we can either just spoil ourselves and being bitter and getting more bitter and bitter and bitter, or we can try to get better and closer to God. And so I think it's better to have this this title for this, and it's much longer, to look at it like this. You can get bitter and depressed and wallow in that, or get closer to God and be filled with his joy. That's a choice you make. Just like this nation had to make a choice during the Great Depression to even give thanks to the during the difficult times. Now, I know that didn't mean everybody did. But it meant as a nation as a whole, we made a decision to give thanks to God. Otherwise, we would not be who we are as a nation today. Or we can choose to be bitter. We are the people filled with hope and joy. We are the church. You are the church. Let your outlook be, even in the midst of your grief, let it be filled with joy just the same. Let it be filled with celebration and thanksgiving unto God. And as we come to the story of the 10 lepers, they had reason to be despondent. They had reason to be hurt and depressed. For we know even in this very first verse, we can see how they were treated. Doesn't seem like much, but let's reread this verse. Matthew 17, verse 11. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. Well, it just seems like a geographical kind of comment, but that geographical comment tells us a lot more about the people, this leprosy group of of people. They were outcasts. They couldn't live in their own town. They couldn't live in Samaria. They couldn't live in Jerusalem or Galilee. They had to live in between, separated from the community. And only after they could show that they were healed could they go to the priest and be healed and stated that they are clean and could join back with the community and their family and friends. They had to kind of squander around for their food, or people had to leave food in a certain area and then they would come and get it later on. They were considered sinners because their leprosy said they had sinned against God. That was the feeling and thought of the day. They were considered unclean. They were considered to be contagious, whether they were or not. They were considered this way and were considered as outcasts. They had no hope, really, but they had heard about this one who had healed. And so they saw Jesus afar off. And they said, and this is, I'll repeat it more like I heard it growing up from the King James Version. And now imagine, Jesus is not right in front of them. Jesus is at a far distance, let's say from here to the end of the parking lot here. And so they don't just go, Jesus, have mercy on us. Jesus, have mercy on us. No. They yell out. They see Jesus. They see him clear as day, but they see him afar off. And they know they're unclean. They know they're unworthy. And yet they yell at him from a distance, Jesus, have mercy on us. And Jesus heard them, but he was intentional to come their way. What does Jesus offer them? Go show yourselves to the priest. That statement doesn't seem like much in terms of healing, does it? But what do these ten do? They don't go up and shake Jesus' hands. They don't go, could you provide us healing? No, they go and show themselves to the priest. And while they're on their way, so in some way they think that Jesus has said this, that somehow on their way, that somehow Jesus has made it possible for them to be made whole. And it's while they're on their way that they begin to notice, hey, where's your leprosy? It's not on your face anymore. It's not on my legs. It's not on my hands. And they realize that they're all cleansed. And nine are so excited about it because now, hey, this means that I can go show myself to the priest. I can get back with my family, my friends. I can go back to my regular life. I can go to the community. I'm no longer ostracized. Nobody will think I'm a sinner because I'm unclean. And therefore, I can re-enter into society. And one thinks, who healed me? Jesus. I need to go and return thanks to the one who healed me. And so he does. And I could get into the story about this. This is a Samaritan stuff. It's not important for this message. But he returns and he falls down at Jesus' feet and he says and gives thanks. And Jesus asked him, were not all ten cleansed? Where are the other nine? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner, this Samaritan? Then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Where did this one leper demonstrate faith? After he was cleansed. After he was healed. So when Jesus says, your faith has made you well, What is he referring to then? He's not referring to his physical healing here. He's referring to his salvation. He's referring to his spiritual healing, that this one has now recognized that Jesus has cleansed him, that Jesus has made him whole. The priests won't help him return to society. It is that Jesus has cleansed his spirit and brought salvation to himself. That's where we need to be. That's where we need to give thanks to God. How many of you have watched the movie? It's an old movie. Shenandoah. Any of you watched that movie? There's a few of you. It's a kind of Civil War era movie. And the father is of this very large family, is played by Jimmy Stewart, so you can imagine his voice. And he gives a prayer at every meal, and he gives the exact same blessing, and this is what he says. O Lord, we planted the seed, then harvested the crop. If we had not put the food on the table, it wouldn't be sitting there. But Lord, we give you thanks anyway. The arrogance, the audacity, to think that he had done everything, but somehow I'm to share thanks to God for this. Did he cause the seed and make the seed so that it could sprout up in the ground and grow forth and bring forth corn and green beans and lima beans and watermelon and cantaloupe? No, that all came from God, you see. Did he cause the calf to develop and grow to provide the meat for the family, or the milk, or the sheep to provide wool? No, all of that comes about because God has created and God has brought forth life, and God has provided for us. Yet he, in his arrogance, thinks that it is all himself. If we are in that position where we pray like that, then we're praying in disbelief. We're praying in unbelief. We're praying in a way that lifts ourselves up as if we are somehow God. Who are we to think that we formed the earth and the foundation upon which we stand and the air in which we breathe? It is God who breathed into our very nostrils and gave us spirit and soul. And it is he who provided salvation to us from the cross. So as we gather at Thanksgiving Day, or any day, let not our prayer be, let's have a quick prayer so we can get to the eating. I've heard that before. What is that? I can't even remember the phrase. Good God, thank you for the food, or something like that. And it's just like a quick little phrase. And it's like, that's not Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is looking out at your family and friends that are gathered. It's remembering those who are alone. It's remembering those who are neglected. It's understanding those who are fighting cancer, who are going through financial hardships. And it's also celebrating that you're holding hands together. And you're just giving thanks to God. Let that resonate in the joys of your family and of your friends. Be as the one leper who returned and gave thanks to God. Was his thanks quick? Was his praise rote? No, I think not. Let us pray. Gracious Father, Lord, we give thanks to you, our one and only Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit that dwells in us. Let us, even in the difficult times of this earth and in this nation, let us give thanks to you that we drive this nation and this world to a purpose to call upon your holy name and to return to you now and forever. Amen.